The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, IGN's number one PlayStation podcast. I'm your host, Mark Medina, and I'm joined this week by Alex Stedman.
Hi, happy to be here.
And Matt Kim.
NBC. No, Beyond.
Well, speaking of, we're going to get into why Alex is here, because it's a very, very exciting time for me. But in typical IGN promotion fashion, there's a whole bunch of stuff I have to read for you guys. So I'm basically just going to read it verbatim, and hopefully everybody is just okay with that. This is for, what is this, the IGN Plus. Okay, I'm just going to read it. If you like IGN, we've got something cool for you. Head to IGN.com/rewards for perks and discounts on things like Dream Gear, Power A, Humble Bundle, and the IGN Store, and more. You can even enter to win one of 5 IGN DX Racer gaming chairs. There's new stuff every week, and it's free for everyone. If you want more, we've also got IGN Plus. It's a brand new program loaded with tons of cool perks and benefits, including free games, a Map Genie Plus subscription, and so much more. We've got a limited time deal going where you can get it for $2.50 a month. That's $2.50. So head to IGN.com/rewards and click on upgrade, since you deserve a little extra. How was that? We good? We did it. We did a promo.
Signing up right now.
Oh,
really solid.
I got him. We got one. A couple other things of housekeeping we have before we start the show proper is everybody's favorite Nintendo plumber guy. He's getting a trailer on Thursday. And so we are doing a live MVC reacts to the trailer. So that'll be at 1 p.m. Pacific. They announced a direct for that today as well. But this is not a Nintendo voice chat podcast, so we're not going to get too into it. And then Street Fighter VI, the beta drops on Friday, October 7th. So my good friend Mitchell Saltzman and the voice of Luke, Alex Lay, I guess I should have looked that up. On October 7th, they're going to play the beta for everybody. And that's at 1 p.m. on our Twitch stream as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, this has been the most advertising podcast so far ever. Okay, one more bit of housekeeping. This is something that I've kind of hinted at in the comments, and some of the savvy people in the comments have noticed. But people have been wondering, you know, what's next for Beyond now that Jonathan Dornbush has left us forever and is just but a memory in my heart. And the answer is, you'll find out very soon. Next week is going to be my last week hosting Podcast Beyond and my last week as like a regular reoccurring member. I'm not saying I'll never pop up again, but next week is my last like week as, as a permanent member and host of Beyond. So it's been really, really fun hosting the show. We'll go over that more next week when Jada's here and all that good stuff. But for now, it's just something I wanted to let everybody know. Okay, we have a show to do. Let's talk about things that are fun. We're like 30 minutes into the podcast. So this has been a news-filled week. So we're going to talk about CD Projekt Red. We're going to talk about all the movies and stuff that are in development. But first, we have to go over the biggest news that dropped over the weekend, which is that Horizon Zero Dawn is getting a remaster slash remake. And we don't know quite what to make of it. So just to quickly catch everybody up, there's been reports, this is all alleged, that the game is basically getting a remaster. all of the details from it have been points towards the fact that it's going to get a remaster. It's going to get new graphics options, which is what like Spider-Man and like Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart got. It's going to get the accessibility options of Forbidden West and, you know, just overall graphical improvements. It kind of spiraled and a lot of people think it's going to be a full on remake. It could be. I don't know. But I want to start with Matt. Matt, when you saw this news, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
I mean, the first thing that I saw when I saw the headline on Twitter was why, but, you know, after that, you know, after the dust settled and people, I think the reason why there was so much confusion is The Last of Us Part 1 just came out, and so the idea of a full-on remake was fresh in people's minds, and so when people hear remake or remaster, they kind of think to the most nearest one, which is that. But I think after reading some of the people's reports, it sounds more like what happened to Spider-Man and all those other like smaller upgrades. So I don't think it's going to be a full-on remake. So after that, I guess I'm just like, well, I mean, if this is a project that they wanted to do over at Guerrilla and they feel that this is a good way to get people to play the first one again, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thoughts as well. It's like, you know, your gut reaction is, what? This game, okay, like Last of Us, you can kind of be like, all right, well, that kind of made sense. The game came out in 2013 for the PS3, got remastered, but yeah, they want to remake it, shiny new version for the HBO show. But like Horizon is 5 years old. It's already received a PS5 patch, not a PS5 native version, but a PS5 patch. And in that patch, like the game looks great. It runs beautifully. It was very, very confusing why this is like a thing, but we have some theories, and this is where I want to introduce why Alex Stedman is here. Alex, before we get into it, I want you to tell the audience like what you do at IGN.
Yeah, so it's funny that I'm here on our PlayStation podcast because I'm actually an entertainment editor at IGN. I oversee our entertainment reviews, so basically any movie, TV reviews, I oversee that. I write a lot of them. But I also really like video games, so it's fun when I get to come on one of these podcasts. And there is a lot of overlap with the two, because I feel the thing I keep on saying is that video game adaptations are the new comic book adaptations. Everyone wants their MCU, but for video games. So I find that there's a lot more overlap than there used to be.
Yeah, we've been trying to get Alex on forever, and I'm like, I was trying to figure out a way. And I'm like, okay, so we're going over this Horizon stuff, and I'm like, well, it's clear. The Horizon is being remade, remastered, whatever, because of the upcoming Netflix Horizon show. And then I was like, this is it. We found our Alex Stedman episode.
Every time there's like some kind of overlap, like NBC, they were like, oh, the Sonic 2 movie. We'll invite Alex on for that. I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Every time a video game show thing happens, you have to get Alex. But yeah, Alex, what are your thoughts on the fact that this is probably existing because of a Horizon Netflix show?
I mean, so I have mixed feelings on it overall. Like, I think the answer to the question is, does Horizon Zero Dawn need a remake? Is no. I love the fact that it's getting the accessibility features, but there's also part of me that feels like there could be a patch. But also, I just kind of feel like company's going to company, and they want to make money. And I think Horizon Zero Dawn is going to get a lot of new fans from the show. And one of the things that I keep keeping an eye out in video game adaptations is, are they trying to appease fans of the game, or are they trying to get new fans of the game? And I kind of feel like The Last of Us in particular will be more of the latter. And we don't really know anything about Horizon, like the show, yet, so it's kind of hard to say. But to me, it's like they're really trying to like fill this ecosystem of like, oh, you watched the show? Well, maybe you can play our game and we'll make more money that way. And I'm not actually mad about it. It's kind of smart. Like, yeah. And if like, and it also makes sense for it to match up with the sequel, because then you can watch the show and then play the first one with the graphics that match the sequel, and then you can play the sequel.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Matt, what are you going to do if this is a full-on $70 remake?
Probably not play it.
What? A rational, normal answer?
And I think the counter-argument is like, they could be making other games, but like
right.
my backlog has a backlog. We can unpopular opinion. We can slow down for a second.
Oh my gosh. We were me and our other reviews editor, Dan Stapleton, were just talking on Twitter. And I was like, if there was a world where suddenly no other games came out for the next 10 years, I'd probably be fine with that.
Yeah. Every time like, a game is delayed, I'm like, all right. That gives me another perfect. Month to like, yeah.
Well, because I was just talking with the official Xbox Twitter account about Far Cry 6, and I was like, I love that game. I loved it up until I put it down one day, and I just stopped playing, and somebody responded, and they're like, why? And I'm like, because just so many things were coming out. Like, I love this game, and I would have loved to have played it more. I also love this idea of playing games that I wouldn't have otherwise played, because suddenly, you know, you have time to, like, actually explore your options than always trying to stay, like, super current.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
We had a few write-ins. One of them is from a friend of the show, K-Babs, on Twitter. And he said, hello, Beyond Crew. K-Babs here. He said, rather than asking what you think the Zero Dawn project is, I'm wondering what you want it to be. He said he's personally hoping it's a remaster plus in the same vein of Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which makes more sweeping upgrades to the game like character models, animations, lightings, and UI, while still being the same game running underneath. This can be sold as a $20 upgrade for those who bought the original game. Thanks and keep up being awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, if this gets the Ghost of Tsushima Death Stranding treatment, I'm like completely there because it's a cheaper price. It's still the base game, but with like a few like improvements. But the idea of them remaking Horizon sounds like weird, but at the same time, like, I guess I kind of get it because there's just, you know, there is that need with the shows. And it got me thinking even further. There's a lot of PlayStation shows in the works right now. And so if this is going to be a trend, I'm wondering what else we're going to see. So right now we have The Last of Us, right? And The Last of Us HBO show comes out next year. And so now you have your remake primed to go. What about like Twisted Metal? Because that has a Peacock series. Alex, do you know anything about that show?
I know nothing about it, but every time I see a picture of it, I'm like, is this like Insane Clown Posse? Well, like, what is this? Like, I don't, but I'll probably watch it and maybe it'll get me into the games. Like, I'm really curious to see how each studio approaches their video game adaptations. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like like I was saying earlier, are you expanding on the world for the game fans? Or are you trying to bring new fans into it? And I think The Last of Us is going to be, you're trying to bring new fans into it. Whereas you compare it to like something like Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which I feel like that was more for the fans of the game because you're kind of expanding on the lore of the game. I don't know anything about Twisted Metal, but
no,
it looks ridiculous.
That's fine.
And I'm kind of here for it because it looks really silly.
Well, and Twisted Metal is kind of like, it's this, I don't want to say dormant, but it's a franchise that just hasn't been around for a while. And it's making me wonder, is like, they're making a show to kind of revitalize this franchise.
I feel like that would make a lot of sense because otherwise, like, why are you making a Twisted Metal show? Like, most people don't know what that is. So I would not be surprised if they like announced some kind of like reboot or revival or a new game, because that seems to be like the pipeline, which I find very interesting, but it's smart. Mm-hmm. Like, they're making their own little cinematic but also gaming universe is
right.
Like, I'm excited to see it.
What about Ghost of Tsushima, Matt? Like, that game is a game that is even newer than Horizon Zero Dawn and has a native PS5 version. Do you think they're going to time it maybe with Ghost of Tsushima 2 or
the movie?
Yeah, the movie. What gaming, if this is going to be their trend that every time a movie or a show comes out and they need to respond to that in the gaming world, where do you see Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, probably a sequel, right? Or something, you know, with the like, hey, check out the movie in theaters. And then like, you know, what would be cool is if PlayStation Studios gets really like rolling with their sort of like, you know, what synergy is the word, I guess, is they could just be like, go to the theaters, watch Ghost of Tsushima, and check out the first trailer for Ghost of Tsushima 2, you know, on a big screen or something. Like, that'd be neat. But
I didn't think about that. That could be cool.
I also didn't want to be the first person to say synergy, so I'm glad.
Yeah, synergy. You know? I mean, you know.
We all have MBAs synergy here.
Yeah, we've all got MBAs. We all been to business school. We know what's up.
I'm like,
no, that's, yeah, I think that like you like buy a ticket to the movie and maybe you get some kind of DLC or like some kind of like early access thing. Like, there's tons of possibilities that you could do with this, and all of them make more money for the studio, so why not?
I only go to the theaters to watch early trailers for the upcoming Christopher Nolan movies. Okay, so
yeah,
I don't know,
with the countdowns and everything.
Yeah, I don't know if I can keep committing to that just for trailers, but what are you going to do?
I just go for the Nicole Kidman thing.
I don't even know what that is.
Wait, you've never seen the AMC Nicole Kidman ad?
I don't think so. Describe it to me. It's shot by shot.
So when you go to AMC, it's like before the movie starts, it's Nicole Kidman and she's sitting in the theater and she's speaking beautifully in her Australian accent and she's like,
sure.
Heartbreak feels good in a place like this. and then it gets really epic. And if you go to the movies a lot, you know that ad by heart. And
I've never seen it.
There's a sequel coming. There's a sequel to that.
There is. AMC's really banking on the Nicole Kidman AMC cinematic universe. I'm here for it.
Well, I hope I see the first one before they see the sequel. No, the last movie I saw in theaters was Clerks 3, which was bookended by did either of you see Clerks 3 in theaters?
No.
So it's like bookended by too.
Yeah.
It's, oh my gosh, Matt, get on that. Mm-hmm. It's bookended by, you know, Kevin Smith is like a minute long basically, you know, forward to the movie. And then the movie plays, and then about halfway through the credits, the song cuts out, and it's just Kevin Smith again, just talking about, like, I never thought this would be a thing. And it's like, it was very sweet, and it was very nice, and I will admit, I got up halfway through and left, because I was just like, are we done? Like, I get it, but, like, it's late, I'm kind of ready to just go.
Yeah. So. I want to beat, like, the parking garage. Exactly.
I was like, all right, I've seen enough. I have to let Clerks 3 process. I can't process this at the same time. There's a few other things in production. We know God of War is getting an Amazon TV series that we know zero about, but it's got me primed to think that God of War is going to get some sort of remake, because God of War came out in 2018. So by the time this Amazon show starts kicking into gear, that, you know, old Jim Ryan over there is going to be like, well, you know, we should probably remake God of War. So that one's pretty, you know, in there. But then Gran Turismo, we don't know if that's a movie or a show, but that's like a thing.
I thought that was a movie, right? That's got the what's his name? District 9 guy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you're right. Now that I think about it, it could be a show, because famous directors are now making TV shows. All I know is Neil Blomkamp is involved in that one. And that one has a crazy premise where a person who's very good at, I believe, driving simulators gets a chance to become an actual race car driver. Is, I think, the summary I read online.
I'm into another like subgenre of game adaptations that I'm very curious about. Like, it's not so much telling the story of the game, but it's like about the game.
Yeah. Know?
Like Mythic Quest, I feel like, is a good example of that, where it's like not adapting a game, but it's still about video games. I don't know.
The world's number one Apple TV podcast makes its return. we did
stay
it.
Stay on brand, baby.
You thought we'd go an episode. Didn't
Quest
happen.
Season 3, November.
Apple TV sponsored this podcast.
We've done so much shilling for a podcast that doesn't recognize us even once. The amount of tweets I've gotten where people were just like, Severance is so good. And I'm like, thank you. I know.
Good.
I put my career on the line for that show. I don't know. Which one's Anthony Mackie in? That's Twisted Metal, right?
He's in Twisted Metal.
Yeah. Okay.
He's playing John Doe. And
he's not Sweet Tooth?
No, Will Arnett is Sweet Tooth.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Oh, I really like both those people.
Yeah.
I might actually watch Twisted Metal on Peacock.
What if you said
you're not ultra familiar with Twisted Metal. Sweet Tooth is a clown who drives an ice cream truck who has fire for hair. So yeah. Will
that
Arnett playing that character is like, I'm super into that. So I'm fine with that. I've preached on this podcast before that Need for Speed, starring Aaron Paul, is a very good movie. So thank you. I'm glad that there's other believers on this podcast now. Last time I was shamed out of the room. So I believe in a Gran Turismo movie because, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a movie about cars. We might have lost Matt. Or he's just scowling. Oh, no, he was just scowling.
Oh, scowling. Sorry.
Because I said Need for Speed. I was like, he's frozen. Nope.
No.
He was frozen in anger.
He was having body experience over the take.
I tried watching Need for Speed on an airplane, and I got about 20 minutes in, and I was like, I could be watching another airplane movie.
Why would you watch a car movie on an airplane? And then finally, there's a Gravity Rush thing in the works that, like, I don't think any of us know anything about, but we covered it a few weeks ago. Exciting because we like Gravity Rush here on Podcast Beyond, but also just like, what is this? We don't know.
I hope it's an anime. It'd be weird if it was live action.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, this isn't PlayStation Studios, but The Medium is getting a show. And so basically, I'm painting the picture here that the curse of movies and shows that are video game adaptations seems to be over. And this is something we covered last week. And it's something I wanted to go over with you, Alex, which is basically like between Edgerunners and The Witcher and all these future projects, Last of Us looks like it's going to be really good. Is this a trend you're excited for? Or is this something that you just like expected was always going to happen?
Yes and no. Okay, so here's my thesis. I will eventually write like a thesis on video game adaptations because I have so many thoughts on them. Mm-hmm. So I think I said it earlier that I truly think video game adaptations are the new comic book adaptations. But the difference between game adaptations and comic adaptations is that when you adapt a comic book, you're inherently bringing something new to it because comic books are a static medium. Like, so if you make a movie based on a comic book, obviously you're bringing it to life in a whole new way. But if you make a movie or TV show based on a game, you need to bring something really new to that approach because video games aren't static. And they're also not passive, they're active. You're like in this world, so it already feels a little richer. Mm-hmm. So when you say you're adapting a video game, first of all, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to build on this world and satisfy fans of the game? Or are you just trying to adapt the story for people who want to consume that story in a more passive way? Mm-hmm. So all of that is to say, I've been extremely interested to see how different companies have taken this approach. And I think two gold standard examples of the way to do it right and kind of offer something new that the game didn't is Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which our very own Matt Kim, don't know if you know him, he gave it a 9 out of 10 for IGN, and Arcane, which we gave a 10 out of 10, which I agree with. And both of those weren't like straight adaptations, but rather kind of building on the world. These are very rambly thoughts that I'm having to a very
No. Yeah, it's something I never really thought about. Like Cyberpunk Edgerunners is, we talked about this yesterday. We hesitate to bring up The Witcher because The Witcher is an adaptation of the books. Yes, it did like spark popularity in Witcher 3 again. Like it hit Steam charts again and stuff like that. But it's a little different, and it's something CDPR, I think, took note of, but it's not something they intended, which is where Edgerunners comes in. But Edgerunners is a little bit of a different case because Edgerunners took everything from Cyberpunk 2077, from sound effects to the soundtrack to the setting. Like that anime just takes place in Cyberpunk 2077's world, where your first thoughts with something like Horizon is who's going to play Aloy? And my gut reaction after seeing Edgerunners is, what if Aloy's not even in the Horizon show and it just takes place in the Horizon world?
Yeah. That's a really interesting
kind of liking
thought.
That.
I've never thought about that.
I'm just kind of like, Edgerunners just did it so good that I would rather them follow that trend instead of like The Last of Us. There's no doubt, right? That is 100% just a shot for shot remake retelling of the first game. So you're like, okay, that's great. And that's probably the way most of these shows are going to go. We're going to see Kratos as the star of the Amazon show and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think Cyberpunk just did it so, so well. And in my opinion, kind of kicked off a trend of what it could be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Cyberpunk's kind of having like a little mini renaissance because of Edgerunners. And we were talking about this earlier too. Like, everyone I know who has watched Edgerunners and is enjoying it, myself included, are just like, oh, I want to go play Cyberpunk again. Like, and so I totally understand the approach of, you know, releasing something new or releasing a remake or a remaster when you release a show. Because even if you have played the game, it may reinvigorate, like, you know, that spark that makes you want to get involved in that world again. And then the video game studio shows up and says, hey, if you want to give us $70, you can experience this again.
Like, yeah. To me and Edgerunners, it was when David receives his first phone call. Mm. And it's that classic, like, ringtone. And I was like, I literally paused it. And I was like, that's from the game. Like, that's ripped right from the game.
They did thing that I know.
Yep, yep. There was a moment before that as well. It might be a little too spicy, but whatever. They were doing a brain dance. Oh, they called it a BD right at the beginning. And so I tell my wife, I was like, just so you know, a BD is like, it's a brain dance, which is basically like a VR thing. And as you can see here, he's using it as this like power fantasy. That's how the show starts. I was like, usually they use it for pornography, and then it was like the next scene, and I'm like, I told you.
That's Cyberpunk, baby.
I was like, I've never been more on the nose with something like that. So it was a good moment. But speaking of okay, so there's something I just want the audience to know. We are all in agreement that Horizon Zero Dawn doesn't need a freaking remake, right? We are good. I don't want to hear it in the comments about these Sony shills and they'll just do anything. No, it's stupid. And if you remember our Last of Us episode, we said that the Last of Us remake didn't need to exist either. If you don't want it, just don't buy it. Once you stop buying it, Jim Ryan will stop making them. But until you do that, he's just going to keep chugging away at them.
He's hard at work right now.
My outlook on it is, I think, far too zen. Like, yeah, it's going to exist. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, that was our thing with The Last of Us. Like, it exists. It's not for me. And if you don't want it, just don't buy it.
Yeah. Same thing with the Spider-Man remaster, right? It came packaged in with Miles Morales. I bought it and I got, you know, both games, and I played Miles Morales. And I did not touch Spider-Man because I already played that game.
Yep.
I booted it up because I have the Spider-Man Platinum, and it's one of those auto pop ones.
Mm.
So you just boot it up and you just get the free Platinum. That's the extent of me turning on that game. Was just for that. If you look through my capture on my PS5, there's just a billion screenshots of the home screen because every single time I got a trophy, it would take a screenshot, and it's just Spider-Man on the side of a mountain or on the side of a building, just kind of being like,
"Oh, that's a cool shot, though."
It's cool. Hold on. You just see it like 40 times if you scroll through my capture enough. Okay. Speaking of Cyberpunk, we got a CD Projekt Red direct this morning, which was like, it was like literally an hour ago. And so it kind of derailed all the other plans we had for the show, because I'm like, well, we have to talk about this because it's big news without being big news. So Matt, I told you earlier I was going to toss to you because I'm not super versed on everything that happened. So take it away, buddy.
Yeah. So it wasn't a direct, it was an investor relations call. And so they were telling their investors their future plans for the company. And as part of this, here's what we're doing. They just announced their slate of games for the next 10 plus years. They announced, we already knew there was a new Witcher game coming out that was part of a new trilogy. They reconfirmed that. So they announced three new Witcher game or three Witcher games as part of a core trilogy that they're developing at CDPR.
Is that starting with the Witcher game that they've already announced?
Yeah, so that's part of that trilogy. Okay. So there's not going to be four Witcher games. There's going to be three Witcher games, starting with that new one that's being built on Unreal Engine 5. And that one has the code name Canis Joris.
Sure.
And so that's developed internally at CDPR. They announced which studios are handling each of these projects, by the way, as part of their plans, which are also very cool. Mm-hmm. They got a project named Orion, which is the code name for the next Cyberpunk game. So they essentially confirmed Cyberpunk 2072 or Cyberpunk 2089, sure, whatever they want to go with.
2078.
And that will also be developed by CD Projekt, but in a new studio based in the US.
Yeah.
Then they've got a couple of smaller or what's seemingly non-core things. So they got a project named Sirius, which is a code name for a game developed by a studio called the Molasses Flood, which did Fire in the River, something like that. And that's set in the Witcher universe, so that's going to be a Witcher game. And then they have a new IP that they announced, codenamed Hadar. That's not Witcher and not CD Projekt, but a new third IP altogether. And that's also a CDPR joint, so not external.
It always makes me wonder, because it's like, you know, this is like nitty gritty, development stuff. But it's like when you know certain developers, not personally, but you just know of them, right? You always wonder who's going on where. And so I really like Pavel Sasko. I think he's really, really good. And I'm always, so when I first saw this, I was like, so what's he going to be working on? That's always,
it's great.
It's my nerdy stuff.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, the guy, you know, like all these people, you know, although their co-founder stepped down as part of this announcement. Marcin Lusky? These names are very difficult.
That's it. Oh, you got it.
Yeah. Okay. He's stepping down as co-founder or co-head, I guess, of the studio. So, you know, employment shuffles as well.
Alex, are you, Matt, I want to get back to you real quick, but Alex, I want to start with how versed are you in, you know, any of these properties as far as The Witcher? I know you said you were playing Cyberpunk and all that.
Yeah. So I've only played The Witcher 3, but I love The Witcher 3. Yeah. Same. I feel like there's so many people like that. Yep. And I played Cyberpunk 2077. And so for me, it makes total sense for them to just double, triple, quadruple down on The Witcher. And as, you know, obligatory as the entertainment editor, I just find it fascinating how profitable Geralt is. Because you look at how much CDPR is investing in The Witcher, and then you look at how much Netflix is investing in The Witcher. Like, there are multiple franchises right now happening just around The Witcher.
Right.
It's like absolutely insane. I just started actually reading the books too, because it really is such a rich world, and I'm a sucker for like really rich fantasy worlds. And my God, this guy just makes this Geralt money making machine.
What is the Netflix thing that's happening in December that's Witcher related?
That's Blood Origin. So So that's a spinoff of the main show. And then they're going to have season 3 of The Witcher.
I think it's spring or summer, something like that. They announced, which is weird because I'm used to Witcher season 1 and 2 happened during Christmas. And that's kind of like I associated that show with, like, you know, having a little bit of downtime during the holidays and getting to watch the new Witcher season. So, I'm still going to watch the Netflix, the whatever is this December. But man, I love Henry Cavill's Geralt. So
Blood Origin, I believe, has Michelle. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Michelle Yeoh has Blood Origin.
Oh, okay. Well, then I mean, I love her too, because that's great. So I'm into it. Matt, I want to kick back to you, not about the announcements, but you had some thoughts about the way all of this was announced.
Yeah, so I've been in the last couple of years I've covered games for almost 10 years now as an industry, and I know one thing about the games marketing cycle is that it loves secrecy, and there are some like unique reasons why they love secrecy, or that it has to like be so secretive, and I get that, and I totally understand that there are some unique conditions, right? But you compare Grand Theft Auto 6 and the MCU, for example, right? Rockstar announced the new GTA game like this year, even though they were like, we've been hard at work on the next GTA game for several years, right? So they've started work on it for years ago, but they only announced it this year, and they always call it GTA 6 officially. They just keep saying the next GTA game. Meanwhile, you compare like Marvel, who will go up on stage at Comic-Con and be like, these are the next 4 Avengers movies up until 2026, and they give them all names, right? They're not going to be like, this is the next Avengers movie, this is Avengers the Kang Dynasty, and after that is Avengers Secret Wars. They're not even, and then they're, you know, just like, this is the director who's working on it, these are the people. And I get that there's a reason why some game companies are hesitant, because like one of the main things is that games take much longer than movies to make. An Avengers movie, as big as it is, can be filmed in like within a year, and a GTA game will take 6 years to make, and a lot of things can change, and maybe the direction changes. So it's not great to like put out a poster of GTA 6 in year 2 and then have it completely changed by year 5. I understand that, but at the same time, there is a reason why also the leak culture and the rumor culture around games is so frenzied. It's because they don't get the same thing as movies, right? Like now that people know that Avengers Kang Dynasty is coming, all speculation is like, oh, what's Kang gonna do? You know, like which Avengers are gonna fight Kang, right? There's all that kind of stuff. But people are, you know, around games, they're like, we don't know anything about GTA 6, so we're just gonna say things and make things up in some cases and see what happens, right? And then sometimes it gets to a point where someone reads something fake about GTA 6 and then gets mad at Rockstar for not doing the thing that they kind of falsely read in the first place, but that's because that's how few information was doing. And so to get back to the whole CDPR thing, this is like that. This is what Marvel's doing, right? Like they didn't announce the full names, but they're just like, we've got 3 Witcher games coming out. We've got a full Cyberpunk sequel coming out. We've got a Witcher spinoff coming out, and we have a new IP in the works. They only reveal the code name, but even that is, I think, a step forward in that way. Like they are doing like an MCU style. This is our calendar for the next 27 years. You don't have to speculate as hard over what we're working on. We're not keeping anything in the door. We are working on a new IP. You can speculate about that. We are working on 3 new Witcher games. You can speculate on a new Cyberpunk game. But it'd be like, I've heard Cyberpunk 2077 is not getting a sequel or something like that, right? And people could get mad about that. But that's not the case anymore. So I think this is a really cool sort of step forward in terms of games, not marketing, but in terms of games like development announcements, right? And like transparency. I think this can go a long way, and I hope this works out for CDPR, because I think this is going to create like fewer headaches in some respect in terms of just sort of how rumors and leaks around games operate.
You're kind of just getting ahead of it. You're like, you're making sure it can't leak because you put it out there.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Bethesda, because, you know, they announced Starfield with nothing more than a tiny little trailer showing a ship in space, right? And then, if people remember, immediately afterwards, they announced Elder Scrolls 6 with just a flyover of a map. Is it Elder Scrolls 6 map? We don't know. That was like 4 years ago at this point. So who knows? And a lot of people have been wondering, like, why did they announce that so early? And you know, in an interview with IGN's Ryan McCaffrey, Todd Howard also confirmed that Fallout 5 was a thing, right? That was a little just like piece of an interview. But for the Elder Scrolls thing, people wondered, people have thought like, well, that game's in development. It's like, no, that game's not really in development yet. That was a shareholder's. You know, that's what E3 is. E3 is for shareholders. It's not actually for gamers. It's kind of changing as we go along. But for the most part, it was supposed to be a trade show. And so that was them telling them, like, hey, you're fine to invest in our stock, because if you're worried about Starfield, don't worry. There's another Elder Scrolls on the way. And it's kind of the same thing with CDPR. It's like they're getting a lot of good press right now with Edgerunners and Cyberpunk 2077 being in a really good spot, that they're like, hey, now is the time to let people know that, like, CDPR is we're good. Look at all these things we have in development. And then what you said about marketing is something that's kind of interesting, because a lot of people don't realize that when it comes to video game stuff, almost everything is marketing. Announcing a game's existence is marketing. Its release date is marketing. A world with no marketing means you drive to Target one day and the game is just on the shelf, a game you've never even heard of. That's a world with no marketing. And so when people wonder why they announce things a little too early, well, it's because that's what they have to do. But they don't want it to leak because that ruins their marketing. Alex, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I also have to wonder, like, how intentional it was on CDPR's point. Because you bring up a good point, Mark, about it. Like, they have to just tell their shareholders that they have stuff coming up and they're safe to invest. So I have to wonder, like, were they riding the high that, like, again, they have a lot of good press, there's kind of a cyberpunk resurgence, or were they just telling their shareholders, look how much stuff we have? But either way, even if it wasn't the goal, I think the result is good. Kind of what you were saying, Matt, like, you're kind of telling people what to expect. You're not being unnecessarily secretive, but you're still keeping enough close to the vest. I think that, like, I feel like in order for these game studios to be more transparent, though, like, we as an audience just have to be more patient, because the big risk that, like you were saying, Matt, was that people get there, they start spreading rumors, they get expectations maybe too high or in the wrong direction, and then they disappoint themselves and they really have no one to blame but themselves or whoever told them those rumors. So I think it's just, we kind of have to meet them halfway a little bit with the transparency.
Do you have thoughts, being more on the entertainment side, about how entertainment is handled versus video games? Because, like, as Matt said, sometimes, you know, the video game industry is very, very secretive, to the point where you have a Hollywood actor like Norman Reedus being like, yeah, we're working on the next Death Stranding too. And, or, you know, just, you know, kind of hinting at that. And you have Hideo Kojima being like, look, dude, I know you're like a Hollywood actor, but you don't get to just be like, yeah, versus movies, that, because, you know, back to Norman Reedus, he lives in a world where if he's in a movie, they'll oftentimes announce the sequel before the first movie's even out. Or they'll start a show and then be like, by the way, this show that airs in 3 days, it's already renewed for a second season. And I'm trying to, I was trying to think of other modern day examples of Batwoman, right? That is essentially going to be a lost film. It's a film that is complete that we'll just never see unless it comes out somehow. And I was thinking, like, the only other example I can think of is like the Game of Thrones pilot, the original Game of Thrones pilot.
That's that, like, exists somewhere,
completely shot. It's made. That's there, and none of us will ever get to watch it.
So bad. I want it so bad.
Yeah. I would love to see it.
Wait, are you talking about the original Game of Thrones or the spinoff? Because they shot a spinoff pilot too.
No, the original, where it's like half the actors are like different people.
Yeah, but they also shot a pilot for a spinoff, the Naomi Watts one, I believe. And that's also set. So there are actually two Game of Thrones things that exist that we'll probably just never see.
Right. I remember, like, the original Game of Thrones. I could have this wrong, but I'm remembering that it basically was just like, it was bad. They pitched it to HBO and they're like, this is not good.
Yeah.
And I think, like, Daenerys, I know Daenerys specifically has a different actress, but I can't remember who else. Also makes me think of Back to the Future, how half of that movie exists without, you know, what's his name? Michael J. Fox as Marty McFly. It's just somebody else, because Michael J. Fox was too busy filming the hit movie Teen Wolf and whatever show he was on, I forget. The comments will tell me a million times, but I forget. Okay, any closing thoughts on CDPR?
I'm newly excited. Excited. I jumped in back to Cyberpunk after watching Edrunners. At the end of the day, it's still not the game that I think was actually promised, the one with like full 24-hour cycles and like super smart AI and stuff like that. But like, we've come, like, now that the dust is settled and I've accepted it as an action game with RPG elements, it's fun.
I played it when it first came out, and I did it. I played it how you're not supposed to play it on Xbox One, and dealt with all the glitches, but I still enjoyed it. So I feel like now that I have a PS5 and I can enjoy it on next gen, I should give it another chance.
There has been that recent trend of people being like, Cyberpunk was always a good game. And I'm like, I don't know if I fully agree with that, only because it's like, I don't think it was necessarily a bad game, but I think people are well within their rights to boot up Cyberpunk and it not be what they thought it was going to be. Like, yeah. I don't think it's unfair to the insinuation is that the criticism laid upon it when it first released was unwarranted, and I don't agree with that. But I do like the game now. But I agree with you, Matt. Once you just get it out of your head that it's not what you thought it was going to be, and you just look at it for what it is, it's a pretty good game.
But that's kind of what we were talking about earlier. It's like when you are transparent, and then you give the audience all this information, and then things change and they don't get what they were originally promised, they, like, their whole entire view may be negatively impacted. So that's the risk you take.
So there was a lot of news stories. Some we had to cut for CDPR, but we got a little bit of time left, so we're gonna revive one of them, and that is that the PS5, it's been jailbroken. That's it. It's over. Every game is free now. No, that's not true at all.
So would you just say that?
We did it, gang. Close the podcast. It's over.
So basically, jailbreaking is I don't really know a ton about, like, the whole idea of what it does, but basically it just means that the software is open for people to manipulate it in ways that the creators of the piece did not intend. So, one of the most famous ones would be like, the PSP being able to put emulators on it. Same with the Wii, those are jailbroken devices that you can use in ways that the developers didn't intend. The PS5 is now in the early stages of being jailbroken. Everybody knows and loves Lance McDonald. He showed a video of him showing some of the debug menus and installing, of course, PT on it, because that is just basically the meme at this point, which is this lost demo that you can't install anymore, getting it on a PS5. It's really funny. But the only bad thing about it is apparently it only works like 30% of the time. You have to have a really, really old version of the PS5 software. And you can't launch anything. You can only read and write. So Lance McDonald was able to put PT on his PS5, but he was not able to play it, because that is just the state of the jailbreak. But Matt, does it surprise you at all that the PS5 has already been cracked open this quickly? The early stages?
It's been 3 years since the PS5's been out.
2 years.
2 years. It's been 2 years. It feels like three.
I agree.
I don't know time anymore. Yeah. Yeah, not really. I mean, every console's been jailbroken eventually. Every console gets jailbroken eventually. And look, just re-release PT. Just do it. Just do it. No.
Like, as a studio, if you see people like wanting, like, go jumping through these hoops to jailbreak for a game, like, wouldn't you just remake it?
It's such a funny meme at this point to just be like, yeah, we're gonna, is to prove that this is real, is by installing this like legendary demo that like you don't get to install anymore. Alex, have you ever jailbroken a console?
No, it just it's far too techie for me. I'm like, I like to download my little game and let it install, and I'll go do a little thing while it installs, and then I play my little game. Like, this is far too technical, but in theory, I'm kind of like, I'm for like game preservation, and I think modding is one way to preserve games that have been lost to history, especially now that their digital storefronts are more prevalent. But I will not jailbreak my PS5.
Me neither.
Because I don't know how.
That's why. Yeah. Not because she's afraid reasons. It'll break. Yeah, nope. Just
I just don't know how to do it.
Someone could come over and they can do it, but I'm not doing it. I was terrified to even install the like approved SSD in my PS5 because people were like,
something?
"Hey, this could like mess your PS5 up," and I'm like, "But it's impossible to get another one." Like, I'm afraid to touch this thing, but I ended up doing it anyways. And you can actually get PS5s now. So
I know something funny. So I've had the PS5 since launch. I literally just got an email like 2 days ago from PlayStation that was like, your time in the queue is like, not the queue, but like, you know, if you're like a preferred PlayStation customer, you get access to that like special online store. They're like, it's almost time for you to like finally have access to this online like specialty store. And I'm just like, PlayStation, I own the PlayStation 5. You don't have to send me this email.
Do not have access to my account details.
You've seen me watch Netflix on this PS5. Like,
I'm using it a lot.
I'm using it. So I was just like, oh, that's good to know.
It's kind of funny how like, I don't know. I know PS5s and Series X's aren't incredibly easy to find, but it does seem like it kind of silently happened where if you do want a PS5, you can get it. You just have to get the Horizon Forbidden West bundle. But they're not like as insane as they were.
Yeah, you don't have to like constantly like look up like when they're restocking and refresh. Like it's a little easier. Right. It's still not easy, but a little easier.
Yeah, it's still not as simple as just walking into a store and getting it, but it's a little bit easier. Well, that is going to do it. We did a show. Every week, I'm like, I can't believe we did it. Another episode down, and IGN hasn't shut us down yet. Until they get halfway through this episode, and they're like, all right, they're done with this Apple TV stuff. They're getting out of
here. They're talking about Apple TV again.
We can't stop them. We've warned him several times, but he just won't listen. But yeah, Matt, I just have to ask. We're not going to do a what we're playing because honestly, I'm not playing anything. Alex, I don't know if you are.
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Oh, God.
Oh, nice.
That's a great game. You fought it for a while. You're like, should I do this? I play Stardew. I play Animal Crossing. So
only
it got you.
I know how unhealthily addicted I get to these kinds of games, but I'm ready to get hurt again.
Yeah.
Matt, do I dare ask?
No, the answer is the same as the last 3 weeks. It's a long game. Metal Gear Solid 5, 40 hours long. It's long. It's a hard game. It's hard, tough.
He's working on it.
I'm working on it.
I'm going to turn this back into a television podcast. I haven't been playing anything because I finished Better Call Saul. I started it during E3, so like early June. And I finished it, which I did the thing that everybody would naturally do, which is I instantly rewatched all of Breaking Bad after. And now, I did. And I just finished that. Breaking Bad, I just want to say, is such a better paced show than Better Call Saul. But the characters on Better Call Saul, I like more than Breaking Bad. But Better Call Saul kind of has some episodes you're like, why does this exist?
Like, I haven't watched Better Call Saul.
I won't give any more spoilers, and people love it. Don't take just my opinion.
I already know everything that happens because I edited our finale review.
Got it. Oh gosh.
I was like, here's everything that happens, but it's fine. Jeez. I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
It's still good.
Yeah. And then I'm halfway through El Camino right now, which is the Breaking Bad movie. The official order, I just need everybody to know, is you watch all of Better Call Saul until you get to the last three episodes. Then you stop. Then you watch all of Breaking Bad, you watch El Camino, and then you go back and you watch the last three episodes of Better Call Saul. Oh, that is the official order, and I won't hear otherwise.
Wow.
Okay.
We're getting into like the Star Wars.
Exactly.
Kind of, like,
it's 100%.
This is how you watch it. Yeah.
This is how you watch it. This is how younger generations need to consume this show.
The Breaking Bad cinematic universe.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
It's kind of there. But yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. Next week we'll have a Mark finale episode, and it'll be Jada and Matt as well. But yeah, we'll be back next week with what will hopefully be a fun episode, but who knows? It could be the worst episode ever. But until then, Alex, where can people find you on Twitter?
A_Stead, STED. That's me. Very simple, to the point.
I love it. And then, of course, Matt, Law of TD, at Law of TD. One day I'll be able to say everybody's Twitters correctly. And then you can find me at Mark_Medina. I want to thank all of you for being on the show today. Thank you for keeping with the theme, Alex. I knew having you on would be perfect, seeing as this is the world's number one entertainment podcast. So it was very on brand to have you.
Watch Severance.
Thank you to Red behind the scenes, who's producing. I always forget to thank the producers, so I'm glad I made it today. And yeah, we will see everybody next week. But until then, beyond.
Yeah.
There it is.
We did it.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.